The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. Mr. Outdoors is standing by. I look forward to hearing what he has to say this morning. Before that, Margaret, you had a question about the evangelical vote. What were you thinking about that? Go ahead.
Well, yesterday I had an occasion to have a doctor's appointment, and in the waiting room, in comes a gal proudly wearing her Trump hat. And naturally, I gravitated toward her immediately, and we began speaking, and we shared pictures of our celebrations of the night before. Mm-hmm. And she was proudly announcing that her church had gotten together, and they were all praying together, and that they had prayed for Donald Trump. And I thought, that's an untapped resource. I think Amish are evangelicals. So I think we really need to reach out more and connect with people that think like us, as far as faith and honesty and two sexes and all that kind of stuff. And I don't think we've reached out in Jackson County to do that kind of stuff.
Well, I know that I don't know what the stats are in Jackson or Josephine County on such matters, because there was a lot of talk leading up to the election that evangelicals were going to be sitting on their hands in this particular election. And there was a concern brought up about that. And now, the statistics are still coming in, and they're kind of being crunched right now, Margaret. I did find a story in Deseret News that was talking about this, and the question was, did Trump make gains among religious voters? That was one of the big questions that was posed, and he was able to make gains with nearly every demographic out there. So this is what they had to say, and it's still a moving target. They said, while more data on how people of faith voted this year is still to come, the Washington Post included a religion analysis in its 2024 summary of the exit polls. By comparing the two charts, what they found out in 2020, 47% of Catholics voted for Trump, while 52% voted for President Joe Biden, according to the Washington Post. Now, this year, Margaret, 56 points, almost a 10% gain, voted for Trump, and quite a few less, 41% voted for Vice President Kamala Harris. So there's definitely a shift in the people of faith vote, at least it appears to, you know, in some demographics. Now, Protestants in 2020, 60% of Protestants or other Christians voted for Trump, 39% for Biden. In 2024, 2% more, 62% voted for Trump, 37% voting for Harris. So there was some shifting going around this time, okay?
Yeah, but I think that's great and wonderful, but I think for as far as revamping the party in Jackson County, that when I went to meetings, nobody really brought up anything about, let's go have a presentation at this church or that church and try to get people involved. And I think we need to do that.
Agreed. I appreciate your call, Margaret. Thanks for that. Mr. Outdoors joins me this morning. Hello, Greg. Greg Roberts at RogueWeather.com. You're on a little early because tomorrow it's going to be hunting season for Greg, right?
Yeah, well, it's going to be the last day of deer season, and, you know, I mean, gee, I'm right where I've been since 2009, but what's funny is now I've got a new excuse.
Okay, have you been eating tag soup those other years?
Oh, yeah, well, and of course now, in the new modern, quote-unquote, world of hunting, this time, for the first time ever in my life, I don't have a paper tag in my back pocket. The reason for that is on tag sale deadline, which was Friday, October 4th, I was up in Gold Beach and I was working as an MC at the Legends Fest that they had. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, it dawned on me, I totally forgot to get the tag. And I went running over to Rogue Outdoor Store only to be told that the computer system for generating the paper stuff was down. And they had no idea when it was going to come up. And I was like, what am I going to do?
What do you do in a situation like that?
Well, here's what I wound up doing. There was a guy in there that he had gone to get his deer tag printed out. He had already purchased, and he told me, he goes, get on the app and do it through the app, because I would bet you, even though the computer system is down, if you get on the app, you're going to be able to get it. And I was like, oh, thank you very much. So I get out in the parking lot, I grabbed the phone, had reception, pulled up ODF&W's app, and was able to get everything I needed on the phone.
Good.
So I was saved, but I'm not carrying anything paper per se. And then I didn't think of something else, and I went into Blackbird on, I forget when it was, I needed to pick up some other stuff. I mentioned to one of the Blackbird employees what I had done, and I said, whole new world for me, and she just looked at me and she grinned. And this is Fluff, by the way. Anybody who's been in Blackbird in Medford knows who Fluff is. Huh. She grinned at me and she said, well, your troubles aren't over there, sweetie. And I said, well, what do you mean? And she goes, screenshot all of your stuff, your hunting license information, your deer tag, your upland bird tag, because she said, if you get stopped by a game trooper, she goes, I guarantee you it's going to be someplace where you won't have phone reception and you can't readily pull that up.
Oh, and your online tag and license won't work. Okay, yeah.
Exactly. Mm. And she was 100% right. The majority of the places that we're going, and especially tomorrow, there's no cell phone reception, and so I screenshotted everything. And so if I bump into a game trooper and he wants to see stuff, I just hand him my phone and go, here you go, and start swiping, because got screenshots of everything and did some further checking, and that's absolutely true. They just want verification via numbers and things like that, that you've got all of that stuff. So yeah, it's kind of weird. If I don't get my buck either on this evening hunt or being out all day tomorrow, well, I at least, I guess the recipes for tag soup, I'll have to come up with a paper substitute because of paper tag.
It's going to be a chip soup, right? It's going to be electronic chip soup instead.
We'll figure that out. But yesterday I was browsing through one of the hunters groups on Facebook, and I now have the perfect line for when I don't get a deer.
What's that?
And I've gone through all the mishaps, and we've recounted a couple of them over the years. The infamous gun not firing when the four-point buck is just standing there staring at me because I had bad powder in the shells.
Of course.
And then the buck got bored and walked away. So now we've got the perfect line. I didn't see a buck to my liking.
Oh, okay.
There we go. That's now the new perfect. When you didn't get your deer, that's my new line. I didn't see a buck to my liking. On Sunday, saw a buck, saw where he went, was in pursuit, was walking along, could see him moving through the brush ahead of me. I thought I knew where he was going. Put my gun on that open spot, waited for him to step out, and he never did.
Oh, he's just gone, huh? Just disappeared.
He melted into the woods. Well, then when he didn't appear, I started looking for him again, never found him again, but then figured out that there was this little bit of brush, and I saw him move into that. But on the other side of that bit of brush, which I didn't clearly see from where I was standing, there was this big old blowdown out there. And he just went along the blowdown and went out basically to the east of me and got into the trees. Never saw him again. And that's the kind of stuff that happens to you when you're out there, you know, because this is hunting, not shooting.
They're pretty crafty. They want to stay alive, and they have instincts to help them do that. Yeah. Hey, I wanted to ask you, is the rut on, though? I mean, you had talked about that a few days ago. What's going on?
Yeah, and you know, we've been seeing it kind of ramping up in general, but yeah, we're definitely, the rut activity has begun, and I'll tell you where I see it mostly happening, though, which is really interesting. It's in the lower elevations in people's yards and pastures. I'm not seeing a lot of evidence of it higher up yet. Higher up, the bucks are still mostly running by themselves. But Sunday, we did have an interesting thing happen. The brother-in-law and I are out, and we're coming down through this piece of woods, and we're walking down a deer trail, and then all of a sudden, I found a scrape, which is the first one I found this here. And what a scrape is, a buck will take his hoof and he'll start working up the ground, and then he urinates on it, and it's kind of a scent marking card. Mm-hmm. Elk are a little different about it. Elk will do this, and then they lay down and roll around in it. You can smell a bull elk a lot of times before you ever see him, especially in the archery season when the elk are in the rut. But I was really excited about this, and my brother-in-law had never seen one of these. And even though it was raining, I could still smell that urine. And I'm looking at my brother-in-law and going, this is fresh. He was just in here working this. And we kept cruising around, and it was right in the middle of kind of a brushy area, right where I would expect a buck to be. We kept looking. We could not find him in there, but he hadn't been, I mean, the time before he was there, and then when we arrived, it wasn't a great period of time, because like I said, I could still smell his urine even with the rain coming down. So I would guess probably within half an hour.
Well, I'm hoping that next Friday when we talk again, though, we're back on normal time.
Well, actually, and that's something else, because next Friday will be the final day of elk season, and I am really hoping I'm going to have to tell you, or I'm expecting, rather.
Okay, do you want to do it Thursday? Do you want to do it next Thursday, too? Two Thursdays
in
a row.
That's what I'm thinking.
All right.
But, I've caught a lucky break. The junior partner, as I refer to her, has no school on Monday, Veterans Day. There's a day we always had school. And when we were kids, they'd usually bring in a veteran from World War II and talk about what happened. But now that Veterans Day, they're off. Well, what that means is I get the first 3 days of elk season, which starts on Saturday. I'm going to be able to hunt. And the beautiful thing is we've got a pretty serious storm coming at us for Sunday into Monday night.
That'll help you.
We're going to be seeing rain. We're going to be seeing snow. We're going to be seeing all the kinds of weather that elk hunters want to see. And if you're still on the fence about getting a tag for the Cascade Rifle elk season, you've got until tomorrow night at midnight. But with the weather forecast looking the way they are, with the fact we know elk are already on the move out of the high country coming down lower, and with the entirety of elk season, from opening day Saturday to closing day Friday the 15th, looking like we're going to have rain and snow, go get your Cascade Rifle elk tag, because these are the kind of conditions I've been hoping we were going to see when the season moved back to November, and now we've got them.
That's great news. Well, I'm hoping that you're successful. I'd like to see you get your buck and your bull, okay? It is a...
Well, it's been since 2009 when I did the double, which, irony, that's also the last year that my tags were attached to anything. Hmm. So, you know, we're looking to break the streak and a long run of bad luck and just outright misfortune, like a rifle that wouldn't fire.
Hey, all right. Hey, before we take off here, Greg, just a quick take. Have you kept up on, because I know you keep up on the fires, too. What is up with that California fire? Is it just a weather-related sort of thing in which they're still dry and we're, you know, damper?
It's that, and then again, this is Santa Ana season. Oh. I mean, when you hit November and you get Santa Anas, and they've been having them, you've seen some really devastating fires happen, especially Central California down into Southern California. So, no, this is actually not anything unusual at all. It's just the funny thing is, or I guess irony is, we haven't really had very many fires in Santa Ana season the last few years because, well, there's been more than enough disastrous fire in California, you know, to go around. But this year, the way things are setting up and the way it looks, this looks like this could be a really bad Santa Ana season, again, Central Southern California, and that has the potential to see some really devastating fires all the way down through December, getting closer to Christmas.
All right, very good. Greg Roberts at RogueWeather.com, and I don't know if this caller is for you or not. Did you want to talk with Greg? Caller, welcome.
Hi. Well, yeah, I was just going to let him know that he can change his e-tagging to paper tagging if he just goes into one of the stores and then he can get his tags on paper.
And that's true, and I have also been told that, you know, if I do get one, that is something I need to do, because if you're going to take it to a processor, which I most likely would, they need to have something.
Yeah, some real documentation, something to hold on to.
But yeah, if also, it comes down to that, definitely that's going to happen.
All right, caller, what were you going to say? Finish your thought there. Go ahead.
Sorry. Yeah, also, you can go to field mode on your app, and it'll let you tag offline.
Oh, okay.
So, oh, that's interesting. Okay, because that I wasn't told. And again, you know, I jump on this thing for the first time in my life with no coaching. I was just pretty pleased that I figured out how to negotiate it enough to get the tag purchase, get the Upland Game Bird, all of that stuff. I was like, yes. And so I didn't really go poking around. And then when Fluff told me, make sure you're screenshotting all that stuff. So I appreciate that input, too, about the field setting. I'll go check that out.
And by the way, caller, what's your name? What's your name?
Shauna,
thank you very much for that. Thanks for bringing some clarification to that. All right. Other people have been using the app. Okay. Greg, have yourself a great hunt, and we'll talk Thursday, because maybe we'll have a great hunt for you on elk season. Then you can tell us all about that, okay? All right.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm actually, the weather, especially, I was shocked this morning to get up to no fog and no low clouds. So the weather's not going to be helping me. I just have to hope that the search for love will overwhelm these dudes and put one in a great spot for me. But I'm thrilled to death with the way elk season is looking, especially the first 3 days of it. I couldn't ask for better conditions, and we've got a pretty good idea right now on where a herd of elk is at, so that's where we're going to start on Saturday morning.
All right, very good. Looking for good news from you. Greg Roberts at RogueWeather.com, so the updates may be a little thin for a day or two because he's going to be out in the field doing his thing here at RogueWeather.com. Thank you very much, Greg. It is 729 at KMED, 99.3 KBXG. And the Outdoor Report usually Friday, but it's going to be Thursday for the next couple of days, is sponsored by Oregon Truck and Auto Authority on Airway Drive in Medford.
Need a new metal roof?
855-51-BIBLE.
Hi, I'm Corey with Patriot Electric, and I'm on KMED.
I appreciate you waking up here on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Dr. Carol Lieberman, MD, will join me here after news. And we talk about the psychotic breaks going down. Or going on out there, really. It's nutty. It really is. 7:32, some emails of the day. That's sponsored by Dr. Steve Nelson, Central Point Family Dentistry, centralpointfamilydentistry.com. By the way, if you don't have dental insurance, they have a dental plan there, which works a lot like dental insurance, but better benefits, lower cost, and I think you find it a pretty good deal, all right? CentralPointFamilyDentistry.com. Get your appointment. It's now on Freeman Way, right next door to the Mazatlan Mexican restaurant. Randy from Ashland writes, hey, Bill, the celebrations of Trump's election is premature. He's not president yet. Let's not count our chickens before they hatch. Trump still has hoops to jump through before January 20th. He will be sentenced for his conviction in New York on the 26th of this month. There's no telling what chaos Biden's handlers will cook up between now and January. Biden has so depleted our military capability, our enemies may decide to attack on us before they have to deal with Trump. It's a point to, pray, okay? There we go, Randy. See if we can do that. AJ writes me this morning, Bill, was watching mostly Fox, but as Trump got nearer to 270, I peeked in on MSNBC, and they were focused more on complaining about what would happen to the U.S. and abroad if Trump won. Very dire things. When I went back to Fox, they were on the verge of calling Trump the winner. He was making his way to a place to speak, and Wisconsin was called, which put him over. On Fox, it was a long time before Trump spoke, but at that point, I went back to MSNBC, NBC, and they all were mentioning that he was almost winning PA, way behind. MSNBC was waiting to hear Trump speak, but had not acknowledged he had enough votes. It was almost like he was going to speak, but they weren't sure what he was going to say. Maybe move forward in a better way than Harris imagined. Let's see. Darlin ends up, or maybe it's Darlin, I don't know, but writes me about the old appliances. My mother's almost 40-year-old TV finally blew out on election coverage. We replaced that. And it says, my microwave's from 1986, still works great. Washer and dryer purchased new in October of 96, also still works. I will not replace them until they die. Love your show and listen every morning. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Betty weighs in, Bill. I have the original wall oven made by General Electric in avocado green with self-cleaning oven. I remember those, Betty. They were built when the house was new in 1972. I keep saying I'm going to paint it, and I never get around to it. It gets tons of use weekly. You know, Betty, you're at the point now where the avocado appliance is going to be back in style, and it won't look weird, all right? It'll blend in with everything else. That's just the way that works. David writes me this morning, regarding your unhinged screamer, can you imagine being married to someone like that? Short marriage. I hate to be the dentist who has to tell her she needs a filling. And Darren from Medford writes me, hey, Bill, TVs can be dropped off for free at the transfer station in White City. It's good to know. Thank you. I was wondering about that. It used to be they had all those electronic recyclers going on at Goodwill and various other places, and then they stopped doing that. And Tony also just mentioned that, too. Tony says, hey, Bill, just thought of something that might make the day a little worse for the purple-haired they-them crowd. Trump is the only president in history to win three times in a row. I can hear the screaming now. And you know, the funny thing is they're talking about how there was 2% more voting in 2020. Could that have been the hinky? I don't know. I don't even want to go there right now. We must move forward. Forward. Moving on forward to Dr. Carol Lieberman and the Crazies coming up.
Including residential with locations in Medford, Grants Pass, and Klamath Falls.
You're hearing the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
7:39, Dr. Carol Lieberman, MD, joins me, America's therapist. Good morning, doctor. Welcome back.
Hi there. Fine, thank you. I'm good. Yeah. And you are, too.
Yeah, I'm doing fine. I know you're doing fine. We're mentally healthy. And, of course, terroristtherapist.com, big website. We'll talk about all the other things where people can find out everything about you being America's psychiatrist. And I think you have a lot of work ahead of you. I couldn't help but notice that there are many people, especially left-wing women, who were going to social media and just expressing their feelings about what happened in the election. If you don't mind, I'm going to play a couple of these just to remind people, okay?
I'm sorry. No, 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 no! Why, why? Why? Do you really hate me that bad?
Wow. You know, I'm going to save that one. I'm going to save that one in the archives here for a long time. There was another one that, that was anger. This is the tears. There were a lot of tears, actually.
We may not have rights tomorrow.
Yeah, we may not have rights tomorrow. Where do you even start on something like this, Dr. Lieberman?
Well, it is so sad that, okay, it's one thing to be disappointed that your candidate didn't win, got that.
Yep.
But, you know, people have been so brainwashed by the left, by the Democrats, to think that Trump is Hitler, first of all, which is, you know, the worst. You know, it's so bad in so many ways.
And if you're dealing with literal Hitler, then there's kind of justification to do by any means necessary to stop it, right? You know, that's kind of the way you would look at it, I think.
Yes, that's right. And so, you know, it's sad that so many people are so dumb, but they've been brainwashed. You know, the mainstream media, Kamala's, people, you know, whatever she did talk, it was to just it really that she had nothing to say as far as what she was going to do. When she did talk, all it was to put down or try to convince everybody that Trump was the worst, most dangerous person in the world.
You're right. That was 80%. 80% of her campaign was not about what I'm going to do, but Trump bad, Trump evil,
yes.
Trump there. And so I guess that took, though, with her base, apparently.
Yes. And, you know, I realized something the other day that if you happen to ask somebody, if you risk asking somebody who they're going to vote for, then they said they were going to vote for Kamala, and you ask them why, you know, they had nothing to say except they would repeat. They would say the same thing. They wouldn't say, well, because she wants to do this. They'd say, oh, Trump is terrible. Oh, we can't have him. I mean, they would go into the same kind of hysterics as she would go into. And that, you know, apparently for months and months of that, it took. And some people really believe that. And all I can say to these people, besides they need to, you know, they need to read more than to watch more than CNN, is to just watch, you know, what that is. You're going to be so happy when Trump, actually, you know, I was just reading this morning about Hamas now wants to have peace. Did you read about that?
Yes, I did. I did read that story this morning. Hamas is saying, maybe it's time to cool things down because they realize there's going to be a different, there's going to be a different sheriff within short order.
Exactly. One who's not going to put up with all their garbage and violence and all of that. So, yes. I mean, so even just look, just like the first day, you know, look what he's doing already. And I mean,
he hasn't even taken office. He hasn't even taken office. It's just the knowledge of what is to come. Right.
Yes. And, you know, I was also reading about how some women, this was in the Daily Mail, how some women are saying that they are going to protest by shaving their head, not dating, mm-hmm. Not having sex, you know, not getting married, not having children. They think that they're going to be hurting the men, but really they're hurting themselves. But that's like the Greek play, Lysistrata. I don't know if you remember that, but in there, women also had a strike, and they wouldn't have sex, and it was to try to make peace.
Yeah.
I
forgot
peace.
About that, but it's a good reminder. Is what's going on with the social media aspect, is it just the narcissism? Is it just narcissism playing writ large out a lot of this? Or are we talking about people who seriously have a mental problem? And I preface this also with saying, I know we can talk about, you even talk about there being a brainwashing, and I will agree with you, but at the same time, voting for most people is not truly a logical action. I don't know if you'd agree with me on that. There's a lot of emotion that ends up tied into it. It's an emotional reaction almost more than it is logical and left brain, so to speak. What would you say?
Yes. And that's especially this time. I mean, it didn't used to be like that. To mm-hmm. some degree, it was, but not like now, or not like the last election or the election. Well, election before Trump won, so people were using their brains then. But you know, it really has to do with people. This time, we were on such a roller coaster before the election. You know, during the while there was a campaign going on. This was much more of a roller coaster than ever before because, first of all, we thought it was going to be Biden versus Trump. Not that a lot of people were super happy about Biden, but you know, at least we thought we knew who the election was going to be between. But then, fortunately, enough people realized that he has dementia, and you know, I've been saying this since 2020 when he was hiding in his basement.
Yep.
So okay, people finally got that. And then all of a sudden, Kamala just popped up. It's not like she was voted in by any primary. She popped up, and the Democrats said, "This is who this is who you're going to vote for. This is our candidate."
Yeah, it was kind of the emergency parachuting in of Kamala into the race. But have you noticed though that the night of the election, I made note of this when I would go over to some of the more liberal channels, and they were very subdued as Trump was racking up. And I really think it was because they didn't have talking points ready for this, not really expecting it. And then when the talking points came yesterday, the coverage turned into finger pointing. And now they're going after all the people that helped parachute Kamala Harris in, including going after celebrity George Clooney, you know, because of his op-ed piece and things like that. Yes. Don't you find that interesting?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's typical. When people aren't happy with the result, they want to blame somebody who caused it. But, you know, I was just going to finish with my roller coaster. Then, of course, then Trump, with his lawfare and his two assassination attempts, you know, that also stirred the pot. as far as making us crazy on a roller coaster.
Yeah.
So that's why people came to Election Day, you know, not knowing. I mean, they might have known who they wanted to vote for, but it was like such a their heads were spinning. So and it really the world is in such bad shape. And America is in such bad shape, and the world, that it really felt like that whoever won was going to be it could be the end of America. So it was like everything was riding on it.
Yeah, I get that. I understand why people would say that. And it also, though, indicates how far government has grown over the years, that the presidential election ends up being this desperate grab for, you know, whichever party is going to grab the control stick, you know, and keep the plane of the United States of America from crashing into the ground, you know, pull up or change course or whatever. Dr. Carol Lieberman, MD, I wanted to share another one of these bites, and because this is something that I think that maybe you can help some people with, and it has to do with how young voters, or maybe people who were Kamala Harris supporters, are saying that it's breaking up their family right now. Now, we've seen a lot of this already over the years anyway, but this was one social media post by a woman. Apparently, her parents are Catholic, and I'll play some of this.
Isn't religion supposed to make you love?
Yeah, she was talking about how religion is supposed to make you love, and she's questioning her parents' Catholic faith because of this, and she continues.
But I could see it, like, breaking me and my parents apart because they just don't get it, and they don't get that they voted for someone who's going to make my friends' lives hell. My life's okay. I'm a white woman, but my friends are not going to be okay.
Boy, there's a lot to unpack with that person, wouldn't you say?
Well, it was a little hard to understand what she was saying.
Yeah, she was talking about how, first off, her parents, she thought that, you know, they're religious, so they're supposed to love, right? They're supposed to love. And yet the other part of religion that I think also gets forgotten about is that religious people of faith, are also usually there to not sin and to do everything they can not to sin. I think the Democrat side tries to ignore that part, you know, of being religious, I guess. But she's talking about how it's going to break up her family because they voted for someone who is going to make life for her friends hell, and that she's a white woman. Her life is okay, but they're not. Right. And so
that is so mixed up.
I know.
I mean, it is true that there are divorces. I know of friends of friends and so on who've been married for a while, but who are getting divorced because they each voted for, you know, the other candidate. And I mean that, you know, if that's how much your love means, your marriage means, especially after a number of years. You know, it shouldn't depend on who gets to be president, you know? Love is supposed to be beyond politics.
Yeah, but politics is also so tied to people's worldviews. And there really are some different worldviews in play right now, and they're not particularly complementary or to one another. We're not, you know, compatible.
Yes, but some of them are really are not reality. It's what has been hyped up, you know, to say is going to happen. Like, but basically what she was referring to, I think, is in her mind, Trump is going to prevent any woman from having an abortion, which is not true. But that's what Kamala, her side, has been saying. You know, you're not going to be able to have abortions anymore. Of course, if her parents are Catholic, I don't think they'd want an abortion, but I mean, it's all mixed up. Everybody is mixed up. And I think everybody needs to just calm down, get a hobby, relax, listen to calming music, meditate, take good care of yourself, health-wise, food and exercise and all of that. And it is not really, I mean, you just have to remind yourself of what happened in Butler, Pennsylvania, when Trump was shot, and he you know was pushed down. They got down, and he put his hand to his ear and saw the blood. Okay, now he wasn't sure at that moment just how badly he'd been injured, and yet he popped up. He got up, even though they were trying to hold him down, and he said, "Fight, fight, fight!" Now,
iconic.
That is the real measure of a man. There he was in this moment of you know, total confusion, and, you know, he didn't know what he was saying was, I may be dying, but you guys have to keep fighting, you know, for freedom and for all the things to bring back traditional America, all the things that America stands for. That's it's, you know, if it was anybody else, or most people, 99% of people wouldn't have continued after the first assassination attempt, or perhaps even after the first five lawfare, you know, cases brought against
him. Yeah, I just would have quit.
Yes, but that's how much he cares about America, that he was going to, and even if you look at the campaigns even, you know, Trump was out there having rallies up until the last minute, and Kamala, you know, she was having celebrities come, and she was doing nothing. She put, like, hardly any effort into her campaign. She didn't do a lot of interviews. You know, it was because she had imposter syndrome, and she was afraid of being found out, you know, that she really doesn't know what
you were. You were saying that about her right in the beginning, right at the start of the campaign. I'll always remember that, Doctor. Hey, before we take off here, you know, back to that young woman who was talking about essentially breaking up with her parents over, you know, the election vote because of this difference in worldview. We have Thanksgiving. What is it? 3 weeks from today? Is it 3 weeks from today or 2 weeks? I forget. But one way or the other, it's coming up two or 3 weeks from today. And how would you handle this when you know? Because I've had this happen with my own daughter, in which you know she looks at me and. Even though we talk every now and then, it's not the way we used to talk. Is there a way around that, you think?
Well, first of all, don't serve knives.
Good idea. Yeah, good idea.
second of all, you have to try to, and it's hard, like right now it's hard. It might be a little better in, you know, by the time of Thanksgiving. But you have to get people to see the facts. That they're not what they have been told, what they've been brainwashed to believe. That is not what is going to happen, and you know whatever it is that they are particularly upset about, whether it's abortion or whether it's and you know, by the way, just for your listeners, the issue with abortion is every state is going to be able to decide what they want to do about it. There is not going to be any kind of mandate, federal mandate.
Yeah, and I can assure you that Planned Parenthood in the state of Oregon, controlled by the Blue North, is not worried about business going away anytime soon.
Okay? So, you know, I mean, it's just, so you have to sort of unravel what the issues are that they have with Trump and show the facts that, you know, it is. Now, of course, the problem is that these people right now, at least, are so emotional that it's hard for them to take in facts.
Could it be just as simple that we're dealing with a generation of, especially not all, but young women who are really working through some daddy issues? Any thoughts on that?
Well, there is that because, you know, I wrote the book Bad Boys and I wrote the book Bad Girls. And that women go after bad boys because they have had a dysfunctional relationship with their father. And there are 12 different types of bad boys and 12 different types of dysfunctional relationships. And because of so many divorces over the years, you know, each like decade, there have been more and more divorces over recent years. And when daddies go off and have another wife or have another family, that pisses daughters off. And that is a part of it. You know, that's part of the rebellion. But, of course, if they like bad boys, they should like Trump.
You would think so. Yeah, you would think so. Dr. Carol Lieberman, ND, by the way, you have the Terrorist Therapist Show podcast, and I'm told you have a new episode called Terror Coming to a Stadium or Concert Near You. Can you tell us a little bit about that and where people can find it and everything else?
That's one of my recent episodes. You know, what I was saying and what I am saying, what I'm trying to warn people is that terrorists are in America. It's not about, you know, they're not just over there in the Middle East. And certainly people in Europe know that they are in there. They're flooding Europe, radical Islamist terrorists, and destroying the European cultures and way of life. And it is really sad. And it's not just sad because now our vacations are more difficult. It's sad because that is what is to come in America.
Yeah. Soft targets for sure. TerroristTherapist.com, best website, or some other ones you want to mention here before we go?
Yes, Terrorist Therapist. That I have the videos on there that I had on my mobile billboards for 9/11 and for 10/7 this year, the first anniversary. And I also have Expert Witness Forensic Psychiatrist.com. And so those would be my two main ones.
I'll put them all up there. Doctor, thank you so much for putting us on the couch for a little bit. And I'm glad to hear you're healthy. I'll remain calm and in my Zen mode for the next few days here, okay? At least. And then it'll wear off, and then we'll start getting excited again. I don't know. Thank you very much. Good talk. All right?
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. It's a shade before 8 o'clock. This is KMED, KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG, Grants Pass.
Looking for the perfect heating solution for your home?
Calm.
You're hearing the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
Let me go back to the phones here briefly before news. Hi, good morning, caller. You've been there for a minute or so. Who's this? Welcome.
Hey, Bill. This is Earl from Central Point.
Earl, how's life in Central Point? What's happening with you today?
It is great.
Good.
Hey, I see they're going to put Biden on the TV here in a few minutes to give an after the Trump's one speech.
Yeah.
How can they possibly put that hypocrite after he has called us names, Trump names? How could they possibly put him on there and think that anything he could say could be truthful?
That's a really good question. I think it's, he is still the president in spite of he's the president. Whether he's the one actually making the decisions, I can't really say. I think this is just.
I don't think he's ever done that.
It's just kind of a tradition. I think it's done out of courtesy, I think, more than anything else. And it is going to be pre-written for him, so he usually is okay with giving the speech as long as it's not extemporaneous, and he's just able to read from the script. So we'll find out though what the speechwriter of the White House is actually thinking. Okay, that's what we'll find out. All right.
So that will be what George Clooney or Barack Obama thought?
It very well could be. It could be right above that. I don't know. I'm not going to air it, though. Okay, I'm not going to worry about airing it. I'm sure that once Biden is done, Mark Lee Van Camp and Robbins and Lars and everybody else will end up beating that up. But, you know, to me, why bother? I don't know why bother. Why bother?
I just seen the thing come across on the TV here on Fox, and I'm going, no, really, they can't do that.
Yep, and they can, and they will do that. Thanks, Earl. Let me go to line two here on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Good morning. Hi, who's this?
Hi, Bill.
Who's this?
This is Logan.
Hi, Logan. How are you?
Good. Hey, I just wanted to remind, we can find our most curious courteous best candidates by seeing how long it takes these signs to get picked up. I want to just encourage people who ran to get their signs picked up and clean up our streets.
All right. Point well made. Thank you for the call. Thanks. Logan. You be well. It's 4 minutes after 8. Diana Anderson is in studio. Even though a lot of folks, at least in my point of view, feeling pretty good about what happened with the election, state of Oregon is still at war with we folks in Southern Oregon, whether you realize that or not. And it continues because not much changed in the political balance of power here in the state of Oregon. Climate-friendly, equitable community rules are still in place. And the push is to just more or less, it's kind of like a Marxist Borg that's rolling across the landscape. Diana Anderson researches this and has done so much work on it. We'll talk with her about it in a few minutes.